I had a wonderful, wonderful week with my mom.
I had the chance to go to Cleveland, to fly to Florida, to spend a day with my mom, helping her get things together, and then to drive her home and to get her home on Thursday night, which gave me Friday to get back to work, which she told me to do on Friday morning. So she's on your side. I had the chance, you know, you spend 20 hours in the car with somebody and you have an opportunity to really grow in patience. I said that at a previous mass and someone on the way out said, yeah, think of the patience she had to practice. Score one for the parents, right? So our Lord says this. This is the 13th chapter of John's Gospel, which we just heard proclaimed. I give you a new commandment. A new commandment. A new demand for daily living. Love one another. Well, I don't think there's a one of us that's going to contest that that's a beautiful commandment. And we're kind of grateful that he gives us that instruction for daily living. He continues. This is what he says. Just as I have loved you, so also must you love one another. Oh, I see that this love isn't a warm, fuzzy feeling that I generate. It's not convenience on my part in doing something nice. It's not simply doing something in order to get something better in return. But love, genuine love, authentic love, the love that is commanded of us as followers of Jesus Christ and members of his church, is a love that imitates his love for us. So then it begs the question, how has he loved us? How does he love us? Because that is the demand with which we are to live daily life. I suspect it's true for you. The love of God has been exhibited to me in many beautiful ways and people that I have encountered throughout my journey. Maybe because I spent so much time with mom this week, my grandfather, her father, was just brought into my heart throughout this week. It's not that we talked about him explicitly, but my grandfather, on my mom's side, was the third of five boys. Carol, his baptismal name, though, Kelly is what everyone called him. And Kelly graduated from high school, and the Depression, the market crashed soon afterwards, and the Depression, the Great Depression, was underway. And being the third child, he had an older brother who was in college, and Kelly had dreams of going to college and really wanted to do that, which was a pretty noble aspiration, for their father was the village blacksmith. And his oldest brother, Chuck, was in college and was going to have to stop. And Kelly said, I'll work and we'll get you through college. And while he was able to accomplish that, the Depression worsened, as many of us know. And a dream for his own aspiration of a college education and a life thereafter was never going to be had. Now, my grandfather, he never told that story. He would be mortified if he knew we spoke about it, because of his humility that just characterized his disposition. Industrious, hardworking, he became a brake mechanic for trucks, and that's how he spent his life. Very, very hard laborer, devout family man, great husband, good father, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather. And he did it because it was the right thing to do. He had a strong faith, a robust faith that was very private. And for him, there was an imitation of Jesus, that the love of Jesus was seen through sacrifice. There are just things in life that happen, and you do them because of the right thing to do. They're not easy or simple, simply required. And you live forth from that. It's not resentment for what was given up, but discovery of what lies ahead, albeit in a very different way. Very proud of my grandfather and to be one of his 20 or so grandchildren. I'm the second oldest on that side. My grandfather had an extraordinary ability, even as an introvert, to be warm and welcoming, inclusive. There was always a spot at the table for anybody who may unexpectedly come, and it didn't matter who that somebody was. I mean, he taught me respecting the dignity of other people, particularly those who were noticeably different, whether in appearance or tone, socioeconomic status. It wasn't a lecture that was ever given, it was just life that was lived. You do what's right because it's the right thing to do. That's Jesus' love for us, time and again, who welcomes inclusively and embraces all and reverences the dignity, the inherent dignity of God that has been given to all people. I'm just thinking of a practical application here in ways that we can continue to live that. While there are some who wonderfully and very faithfully attend to greeting many of us when we come into church and making sure that we have a hymnal when we come into Mass with the encouragement to save the bulletin, read it during the homily. You know, Father Dave's going to be preaching. You know, all that's good. But while there are some who do that so wonderfully and we always appreciate that, it's really for all of us to kind of notice one another. And when we see someone who's not as familiar, it's for us to be inclusive and to perhaps a nonverbal, just a smile or a nod. Maybe it's an opportunity to introduce. If someone looks a little bit unsure, chances are that they are, and maybe to offer some assistance for whatever it is that might help them to be more comfortable with us in our worship. Gosh, it sounds so simple, but it's imitation of Christ, who sought to always provide acceptance of that individual and the group when he encountered them, calling them to more for sure, but beginning by accepting them where they were at. I just yesterday, I got a phone call coming back from the cathedral where we had 25 of our young people confirmed. It's a great event. From my cousin, who's the second youngest on the same side of the family, Tim. Tim is number, in that family, he's number 11 of 12. Is that a lot? You wonder why I go back to Wisconsin every year for a wedding? Well, there's two left in that family of all my cousins, and they're considerably younger than I am. I'm the oldest, or second oldest. And Tim just got engaged. And so on my way back from the cathedral of the parish, he happened to call me and to share the good news with me, which I had met his now fiance at a family wedding that I had had of one of his brothers last year. And so great news. And I asked him, how'd you do it? How'd you propose? And he says, Dave, it didn't kind of work out like I thought. I said, well, what happened? He said, had the plans and everything was set aside, and I was just leaving the house and we were going to have a nice dinner. And there is a neighbor lady, he described her as 92 and living alone, and she needed some help. So she contacted Tim, and Tim said, of course, I'll go and help you. And it got to be a little longer than maybe he had thought, and he didn't say a word about it. And then Tim says, but I got to tell you what happened. I said, well, what's that, Tim? He said, as I was just helping her with kind of several things, she started talking of recollecting about her own husband and her own married love. And she actually talked about her own engagement without any prompting of my cousin whatsoever. So that's when my cousin, I think, dialed it down and realized, okay, God's got a hand in all this. It's going to work out. It's just going to be according to a different plan, albeit a better plan. It's just beautiful how God provides and his love floods our daily experience when we give it the opportunity to do so. Well, he told me that story. There's no chance that I can't go back to Milwaukee and have this wedding, right? Doesn't matter what the date is, I'm coming. Tim, I'm coming. I'll be there. So Jesus' instructions, a new commandment, an expected way to live, a demand that is placed upon us, the demand of love. Love which is not whimsical, love which is not conditioned, love which is not done in order to get something back in return. It's not political. It's not scheming. It doesn't keep score. It's seen in doing what's right because it's the right thing to do. It's seen when we welcome and we're inclusive and we're engaging and we're accepting. Love which is in imitation of the love that we have received from Christ. And the fruits of it, well, Jesus tells us, this is how everyone will know that you are my disciples. These are his words in John chapter 13. By love. And it's not by parish membership. It's not by all of the sacraments. It's not by other externals that mark our way as we continue to journey, but by daily choices to express a love which itself is reflective of the love of Christ that we continue to receive. I have to tell you, my grandma.